Whether your copy of Active Worship's amazing new album, Ablaze, on iTunes or on www.activeworship.com.
We have ignition. Strap in.
You're about to listen to the hottest sounds.
Let's hit the city ablaze. A place for Jesus.
Perfection where there is fault. We are the flavor bringing the salt. Every darkness we came to assault. We were made to set it ablaze. Breaking chains to pray and praise. We were made to set it ablaze. Breaking chains to pray and praise. So let's set it ablaze.
So we're looking at destroying curses and betrayal. Is there anyone here that wants to live cursed? Where, like, when you walk, there's like this witch following you, or these like dark clouds, and there's just lightning striking you. You know those cartoons where suddenly this cloud appears just above the one cartoon there where they go. Have you ever seen those type of cartoons? Maybe it's just me. I don't think it's just me. But anyway, like, you, no one wants to be cursed. So you have to listen tonight if you want to learn how to destroy curses. Plus, no one wants to be betrayed. No, Sashi shared it this morning. It's not like you're planning, one day I'm going to get married, and then I'm going to get the ring and the dress and everything, and then one day, like in 5 years' time, I'm going to have kids, and my husband is going to cheat with many other women and tell me he doesn't love me anymore. So romantic. No one dreams about being betrayed. No one dreams about, I'm going to have a best friend, I'm going to tell them everything, and they're going to go tell the whole world how terrible I've been. It's going to be so amazing. I can't wait to get a best friend. No one does that. No one dreams of being betrayed. No one dreams of having curses. So, weakness is a curse, right? If you're weak, it's a curse. I'm not talking about physical weakness, but possibly maybe physical weakness. I've got to ask God on that one. I haven't asked him. But weakness is a curse. And how do you know if you're living under a curse? Now, there was a guy who came up with about 7 points and 7 situations where you can identify you're under a curse based on Deuteronomy chapter 28. And this is, it goes as follows. Mental and emotional breakdown. I'm so sorry. I think I used to have that with my parents. I used to just explode. You know, if I was hungry, I remember when I was in grade 6 or 7, when 5 o'clock hit, I promise you, to the second, when 5 o'clock hit, I was like, where's supper? I am starving. Where's supper? And then she said, supper's already. No, man. What do you mean supper's already? I am starving. How could you deprive me? I would literally, and I think not just in that situation, I think if I got upset, I would just shoot everything out of my mouth that came to my mind. Wasn't very holy at all. It wasn't holy at all. But mental and emotional breakdown on your mind. You're living full of fear and you're not controlling your mind. Repeated or chronic sicknesses. So maybe someone had cancer, then you inherit cancer, then your kids inherit cancer, stuff like that. Female problems such as infertility, miscarriages, premature births, menstrual pain, which is period pain. I looked at my sister today. I was like, oh, I am cursed. But you know, it's not that bad. Okay, and all kinds of related issues. So it's a cool thing. Guys, just bear with us. When you have a wife, you'll understand. Right. The next one is breakdown of marriage. Okay, in the world, every marriage falls apart. And family alienation, where families can't stand being with each other. They hate being at home. They're always fighting. There's this family gossiping about this family. It's amazing how that happens. Financial insufficiency, you never have enough. Or the minute you get paid, it seems like you just got unpaid as well. Being accident prone, so being in accidents all the time, you know. Maybe you keep walking around the table and hitting, no, that's not that kind of accident. But like maybe you keep hitting the same table at the same place every time. No, it's but accidents, okay? And the history of suicide or unnatural deaths in the family. So if you think about this, what curse do you identify with? Okay? And what do you do when you struggle with your character? What do you do when you're struggling with a sin? When you're struggling with an issue, and no matter how much you try and put your mind to it, no matter how hard you try, you can't seem to overcome or have victory in getting over that issue. Okay? What is the answer? The blood of Jesus is the answer. You know what I've learned with Christianity? Reading the Bible is as important, but we focus on so many other things. 7 levels to getting to God, 7 levels to success, but everything, every issue you have, every sin you're battling with is all coming down to the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the answer to every issue you have. A family issue, battling with sleep, battling with anxiety, battling with faith, you're confused, distracted, all of that is covered in the blood of Jesus. There is not anything that is not covered with the blood of Jesus. It is your everything. The blood of Jesus is your greatest weapon. It is your secret weapon that will destroy the enemy every time. It's like every time he tries to run, you just poof, poof, and you just blow him up every time because it is your secret weapon. So we're going to look at the first place that he shed his blood. And let me tell you, this is the most powerful series. You've got to make sure that you come every week. You've got to get people here. You've got to get your family here. Your life will never be the same. Never. And today we're looking at the first area. Now I want you to imagine this scenario, because we don't think of it like this. There Jesus is. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay? His disciples have been quite pathetic, if you put it in that term. They're falling asleep instead of praying. I mean, such unholy people. Peter. Big mouth Peter, and you fall asleep on Jesus. I mean, what's wrong with you? If I was there, I'd be fighting in prayer. I'd be hoying at them. But no, I'm just kidding. I probably would have slept as well. I don't know. I hope not. I hope I wouldn't. Just like we say, I would never eat the apple in the Garden of Eden. Really? Well, you be there. We'll see. You know, you don't talk until you've been there. But anyway, that was just a side note. So you can pay R5 at the door just for that side note. It's, you know, it's not for, no, I'm just kidding. So Jesus is in the Garden of Eden, Gethsemane. He was there too, but here he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's sitting there, and as he's there, he's feeling weak. His heart is racing. He's freaking out. He's having flashbacks of the whip, and he's having flashbacks of them putting that nail through his hand. He's having flashbacks of them stripping him. He's having flashbacks of them literally ripping out his beard. Now, girls, if you've had a wax or you've plucked your eyebrows, you know just one hair, strand of hair is like the most painful thing. My mom will do one side of my face. I'll be like, wait, I need a break. This is too much. Now, they're ripping out his beard. They're punching him. They're putting thorns, and he's having flashbacks the whole time. Like, you know, he's having flashbacks, and he's in so much anxiety. He's like, this is intense. This is bad. This is like, God, will I get actually through this? I don't know if I can. And he's freaking out. And what happens is he starts to sweat blood because he's in so much trauma. And he's sitting there and he's going, God, I don't know if I can do this. God, this is hectic. And the whole of heaven stops and goes, guys, is he going to go through with the cross? Because he had a choice. And they're going, guys, Gabriel, do you think he's going to back out? Do you think he's going to? And they're all waiting to see, is Jesus going to actually do this? Flip, if he doesn't do this, we're stuffed. If he doesn't do this, humanity's stuffed, and they're waiting. Like the whole of heaven is silent, and they're waiting. Is Jesus going to go through with it? Or is he going to quickly change his mind because it's so intense, and they're all waiting to see? There's no kr, kr, kr. There's like, do, 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 do. You know, I'm sure one of the angels that just naturally plays out of them, play music, do, 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 you know. But they're all waiting there, and Jesus is there sweating blood, and he's freaking out. And he's thinking, God, if possible, take this away from me. This is intense. I don't know if I can go through with this. And so the first thing we see is the blood of faithfulness. Luke 22 verse 44 says he prayed more fervently. That means he carried on praying. Sometimes when we have issues, we stop praying. Like, nope, no answer. Oh, well, I'm going to go do my own thing. He prayed more fervently. He started fighting more in prayer. Like, God, please hear me. God, I'm feeling weak. I'm bad now. I don't know what to do. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit, his sweat fell to the ground like drops of blood. I want you to think of this scenario. You're with a person that you think you're going to be close with for the rest of your life. You share everything with this person. You do everything with this person. You love this person the most out of every person in the world. And then suddenly they turn their back on you and they go and plot with your enemies ways to bring you down. That pain. And I'm sure some of you have experienced that, but that pain, that agony, that someone you loved and trusted has actually turned their back and betrayed you. And as he's saying there, not only is he having flashbacks of the cross, but he's in so much pain of the fact that Judas, who he loved and poured his life into, his own disciple, has betrayed him and gotten 30 pieces of silver. I mean, at least if he was going to sell Jesus, maybe get like a million. But this dude settled for 30 pieces. You know, but the Son of God is priceless either way. And his disciple gives him up and betrays him and helps plot his death. And he's in pain. He's like, God, I'm in so much pain. I loved him. And he has betrayed me. He has turned his back on me. And as he's there, he's thinking of, he's having the flashbacks. He's in so much pain and agony that he was betrayed, and his sweat turns to blood. Now, I did a bit of research because we think, oh, yeah, sweat turned to blood. Has anyone ever sweat blood? Okay, just checking. You're all normal. Right. So I did research on what happens when you sweat blood. And this is what it says. The blood usually oozes from the forehead, also sometimes from the nails and other parts of the skin as well. What happens is when you start sweating blood, have you ever had that situation where you have throbbing headaches? Where it's like such a bad headache, you can't keep your eyes open. The light is like blinding and you just want to sleep because you can't. The headache is so bad. It's just, you can't think straight. Has anyone ever had a headache like that? I've had many headaches like that. Now, the sweating of blood causes intense throbbing headaches and abdominal pain. Okay, on top of that, your skin becomes extremely tender and fragile. So just touching it, it's fragile, it's sensitive. And what happens is, because what causes you to sweat blood is your sweat glands actually explode. From the intense anxiety you're suffering, your sweat glands actually explode. That's lovely. Okay, that's beautiful. I'm sure everyone wants to experience what Jesus went through, right? Because we think it's so simple. Sometimes we're just like, yeah, I sweat the blood. His veins. His sweat glands exploded. And what is the effect on the body when you sweat blood? You are extremely weak. You have no strength. So even before they beat him up and put him on the cross, he was already weak. Already. And then they still made him carry a cross that four men normally have to carry, but he carried it by himself. He was already weak. And you suffer mild to hectic dehydration because you're in so much anxiety. You start getting extremely dehydrated. So this is not a game when you sweat blood. It's not fun. It is intense. It is painful. Already that is painful. We think, yeah, I sweat blood. We forget that sweating blood is painful. If your sweat glands explode, do you think you're not going to feel anything? You're going to feel a lot of pain. Plus, your body is reacting to you sweating blood. It is a lot of pain that you're going through. And you know what? Jesus was sent to this earth to redeem humanity. You know, I think I said to one of the cell groups I was running, you know, if I was Jesus, I'd run down, cue the music. I'd have the glasses. I'd have the outfit and be like, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus. Disco ball. Yeah. Yeah. Splits in the on the floor and stuff. That's how I do it. I'd be like, Jesus has arrived. I would create a palace for myself to be born in, and I would raise myself. That's how I'd be with Jesus. But Jesus doesn't do that. He downgrades himself. He puts himself lower, and he comes himself, and he comes in our body. I know you think you're awesome, but to God, being in our body is not nice. You get tired, you get hungry, you go to the toilet like a lot in the time of the day. You sweat. I mean, what person wants to sweat? You have your perfect makeup in here, and then you sweat and everything's just, it's finished, it's ruined. Okay, he comes in this body and he's got limits. And it's not nice to be, I mean, imagine the food. He has this heavenly perfect food that never ends, and he comes back and he has toast that's burnt and he has uncooked eggs. He's like, God, what the heck do these people eat? We need to get them better food, man. We need to teach them how to cook, because he came here and he downgraded himself. But why? He came here because we needed to be saved. And he came here for the sole purpose of buying us back from Satan and saving us. You know what I love? He remained faithful to the will of God until he had completed the mission. After he died on the cross and went to hell, when he had completed his mission, he stayed faithful. You know, we think, you know, Jesus died on the cross, he had to. Jesus could have changed his mind. While he's praying, he could have gone, God, tap out. Tap out, man. I thought I could do this. I can't do this. Bring someone else. Get Gabriel, one of the angels. I can't do this. I'm leaving. Disciples, come quickly. We need to go find a hiding place. I need to create one before the soldiers come. Or, you know, the verse says, when he says to the soldiers, I am, they all collapsed. I'd be like, that's just a chance. Run. Peter, keep up with me, man. They're going to get up soon. I will do that. Or, you know, he could have been on the cross in pain. And he's like, you know what? I'm sick and tired of these people. They are ungrateful little animals. They never thanked me. You know what? Keep your nails. Stuff you, humanity. God, I thought I could do this, but I can't do this. I'm sorry. These are ungrateful little stupid, pathetic things. I can't do it. He could have changed his mind. He could have jumped off the cross. You think he's not God? He was God. He could have done this and thousands of angels would have come and rescued him and pampered him and closed up the holes and said, like, are you okay, Jesus? Okay, let's go. They could have done that. But he didn't. He stayed on that cross. He went through that agony because he chose to be faithful. He chose to be faithful till the mission was complete. And let's be honest, remaining faithful is not easy. Even for Jesus, the task he had was so big, it wasn't easy to be faithful. There he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's thinking, is it possible that I cannot do this? He is thinking, is it possible I cannot do this? There he has a choice. This is really scary. Should I run? Should I stop? Or should I go through it? He had a choice. Let's be honest. When you're tired and you wake up in the morning, it's not easy to be faithful to do your quiet times. But you have a choice. Are you going to give yourself the option and follow your feelings and be weak like that? or are you going to be faithful? It's not easy to be faithful to come to church when you're tired or there's a party going on, but you've got the choice. It's not easy to be faithful when your leader tells you to do something and it doesn't make sense or you don't agree with him. It's not easy to be faithful, but you've got a choice. Are you going to receive the anointing and be obedient or do your own thing? It's not easy to be faithful, but he was faithful. And this is what I love. Matthew 26 verse 39 says, he went on a little further and bowed with his face to ground, praying, my Father. I think this should be every Christian's motto. I think this should be our motto. Besides applying the blood, this should be the motto we follow. If it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. I think every Christian's motto should be, I want your will to be done, not mine. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like loving this idiotic specimen. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like doing my cry time. I'm so tired, God. You should understand. Why do you make me tired if you want me to do cry times? But not what I want. I really want that God. I really want that God. Oh, please, God. I'll never ask for anything else. But if it's not what you want, look, I don't know the number of hairs on my head. You do. So it doesn't matter how much of my feelings are screaming, do what you feel like. You know better. I'm going to just destroy my life because we as humans do a very good job of destroying our lives. It's like God just leaves us for 5 seconds and we've destroyed everything. It's like, well done. Best prize of destruction goes to humanity. Yay! There's nothing to celebrate, but we do a very good job. A very good job. And what happens? We've got to start taking on that motto Jesus has, not what I want. As much as my feelings are screaming, I want it. What you want, and I'm not going to do my own thing. And you know, when I didn't actually realize this till we did this message, but when God says to Adam, you will sweat to work and to be able to eat, that was a curse. It was a curse when, because we sinned and we chose our own way. You see, when you choose your own way, when you don't listen to your leaders, when you don't listen to God, when you make decisions without asking God, you curse yourself. And then you want God to bless your curse, but you've cursed yourself. How does he bless a curse? He can't bless a curse. So if you want to stop being cursed, if you want to stop living such a depressing life, start actually doing God's way. Stop doing your way. It doesn't work. I've learned that doing your own way doesn't work. And so what happens is, he says with Adam, this, you will sweat as you work hard to just eat a little bit. And when Jesus shed that blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was canceling out that curse that Adam received because Adam had sinned. So when we apply the blood of faithfulness, what happens? Well, the purpose is, you've all been betrayed. And the purpose is, when his blood was shed, when you apply the blood of faithfulness over your life, he breaks the betrayal, the power that betrayal has over your life. You see, what I didn't realize, and I've noticed it recently, when we're betrayed, we start handling people very differently because of what happened to us. We start handling relationships differently. We start pulling back from people. We start giving up on people easily. We battle to trust. We battle to love because we've been betrayed and we're too scared of being hurt again. But what happens when you leave a wound? It just keeps getting worse. People say, you know, time will heal the pain. No, no. Time will make the pain worse. The blood of Jesus is the only thing that can heal the pain. So stop waiting for time, because if you don't apply the blood of faithfulness over your wound, you will be a very wounded, ugly, bitter person till the day you die. It is only the blood of Jesus that can heal you. And I'm sure you've all been betrayed. I'm sure there's been cases. If you don't have both parents who are married, you feel betrayed. Maybe you were dating someone and they ditched you for someone else. You feel betrayed. Maybe someone told you you're fat or you're ugly. That's betrayal. And that all adds to it makes us a different person. It adds wounds, which makes us make the wrong decisions. It takes us away from God. And Satan loves it because it's the perfect strategy to just take us away from God. But when we apply the blood of faithfulness, it breaks the power of betrayal over our life. And guess what? Every time you were disobedient, or every time your mother, father, thanks mom and dad, I appreciate your disobedience. The sin I battle with is because of, no, I'm just kidding. It's also my fault as well. But your mother, your father, your uncles, your aunts, the decisions they make in your family, you inherit them. And when there's disobedience, a curse enters your life. So every time you've been disobedient, even if it's doing your schoolwork, that's disobedience. Every time you've been disobedient or your family has been disobedient, a curse has entered your life that wants to rule your life. Oh no, God. Why? Why are you so full of hatred and anger towards me? No, it isn't. This is sin. This is the problem with sin, and we don't even realize we curse. We walk in curses. What's up, curse? And we don't even realize it because we've got all these wounds and we're not healing them. It's like we're these ugly human beings with all these sores sticking out and we're proud of them. No! We need to heal them because otherwise we start having green stuff come out. We become ugly people and we never have successful relationships ever. So when we apply the blood, we apply the blood. God, I applied the blood when my parents gave me hardings. I felt so betrayed. I felt so abused. I felt so unloved. But I apply the... I'm really kidding when I'm saying this. This is just a funny example. I apply the blood of betrayal over my father leaving me. I apply the blood of betrayal when my friend gossips about me. I apply the blood of betrayal when my boyfriend or girlfriend lied to me or used me and then left me. I apply the blood over this betrayal. And you apply it over that betrayal. Or I apply the blood over my generational curse. I'm sorry for those times I rebelled. I'm sorry, God. I apply the blood over all those times I planned to have sex. I apply the blood over all the times I planned to lie. It's so funny. We strategize our lies. I'm going to then say this. And if they say this, I'm going to say that. And if they say this, I'm going to be, ha, bam, I said this. Okay, we plan our lies. What's wrong with us, man? We plan sin. Okay, I apply your blood over all those times I sinned. I apply your blood over all those times because we focus on they did this and this, but what did you do to people? You need to apply the blood over all the times you were unfaithful and cheated on someone. You need to apply the blood over all the times you lied and you strategized sin and you were unfaithful to people. We need to apply the blood. We apply the blood. Or maybe one of your family members went to a sangoma. You apply the blood because otherwise there's a curse. Or maybe your family worships money and who cares about church? Money, or they worship clubs. Who cares about church? Let's go to clubs. You've got to apply the blood over that idolatry or sickness. If you're battling with sickness, you should be applying the blood. And what are the benefits when we apply the blood? Are you ready for this? Everyone hold on to your chair and say, dude, lean in. It's deep. It's deep. What are the benefits? What do I get out of applying the blood? What is the point of applying the blood? Well, you have a forgiving heart. For me, there is nothing worse when you walk into a room and you see that person and your eyes going, and they don't know there's an issue. But in your eyes, you're thinking this person is Satan himself manifested in the soul of this body. Okay? And you've got issues. And this person moves on with life and they're happy. And you're like, this demonic stuff. You know? There's nothing worse that when a person... When you have issues with the person, they're like moving on with life, like, don't worry about a thing. And you're like, I would kill you now if I could. You know, there's nothing worse than that. And this person's moving on with life and you've got this. And every time they celebrate something, you're like, you know, you've got so much anger and resentment. And then you walk around and even after church, you're walking home and you're like, that stupid person, did you see they got awarded for? I don't even know, they're stupid. You're full of issues and you waste your time being full of issues with a person that doesn't even know you have issues and doesn't really care. There's nothing worse than having an unforgiving heart because everyone else moves on with life and you're just like the small little pathetic me sitting in the corner. I'm lonely. And no one else cares. No one else knows either. Okay, a forgiving heart completely free from hatred. No resentment, no bitterness, no desire for revenge. When I get you, the chief town will meet your Gauteng face and then you know, free from revenge. A heart that is faithful and obedient to the word. I can honestly say, in the beginning, I battled to be faithful in doing my quiet times. I battled. I was so tired. And there came weeks where I started not doing quiet times. I used to wake up at 5. And then after months, I stopped doing quiet times at all for a while. And I'd feel so horrible by myself. And God said to me, well, you don't give yourself the choice about coming to church. Don't give yourself the choice of doing a quiet time. And I can honestly say, since I've been faithful in doing quiet times, there were a lot of mornings I didn't feel like it. But now when I wake up, I can't start my day without spending time with God because He fills me with this energy and life and He makes me happy. Okay, that's what the Word of God, it fills us with life and complete freedom from generational curses. We all dream of just being completely free. He gives us that freedom. He offers it to us. So number two is Jesus, the servant of God. Now I want to ask you a question. Which person do you like more? Which person do you admire or want to be more like? The person who says, oh, am I not amazing? I mean, look at me. Look at me. I serve in this at church. I'm at church at 6. I go home at 5. I mean, look at me. I've got so much money. Look at this. You must bow down to me. In fact, polish my shoes quickly. You're taking too long. Or the person who goes, you know what? You are so special. You are so important. You mean so much. Yeah, let me help you. Do you need help with anything? Which person do you like more? The second one. Now, when Jesus came to earth, as I said, with me, I'd be like, I have arrived. I'd have angels parading with outfits. We'd do a whole little break dance thingy. And, you know, I'd be like, Jesus has arrived. Welcome, ladies. Burn in hell, burn in hell, burn in hell. You, why are you giving that look? Burn in hell. And you know, if someone gave me energy, I'd be like, may you lose your hair right now. May your nose go on the top of your head right now. I would do that. I would make them ugly. I would make them pathetic. I would put them in chains. I'd make their bodies deformed. I would do stuff like that. And here Jesus comes, the Son of God, and he doesn't push in people's faces with a cape. I am God. I am the Son of God. I have come to save you. You are stuffed without me. He didn't do that. He came as the ultimate servant. So if you want to be liked and influential, stop trying to boss people around and become a servant. And Jesus came as the ultimate servant. He washed his disciples' feet. Have you smelled how feet smell after a day, especially in pumps? I don't know what it is about pumps, but they make your feet smell. I get home, I take off my pumps. My mom's like, Kayla, your feet smell. I'm like, I know, it's horrible. Okay, now think of it. They're walking. Some of them step on poo of camels and donkeys. They're walking in sand. They do funny things with their feet, whatever they used to do in those days. And what happens? Jesus takes off their sandals and begins to wash off the poo. We forget there probably was poo on their feet. Telling me you wouldn't step in poo. You've all stepped in poo in your life. I've stepped in poo. It's disgusting. And he washes that off their feet. He became the ultimate servant and he brought justice back. So become servants if you want to actually make a difference. Become servants if you want people to want to be like you. Become a servant. Stop thinking of yourself. It's all about, I'm so important. No, you're not. Okay, Jesus is important. And when you want to be influential, you become a servant like our Creator. You follow His example. John 3 verse 36 says, and anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son, if you don't obey the Word, this is you. If you lie and steal and have sex before marriage and you have no conviction about it, you will never experience eternal life, but you will remain under God's angry judgment. See, God's a very loving God, but He's also a God to be feared and respected. And if you're disobeying the Word, the Bible says you're probably not going to heaven. So as Christians, we've got to start living and acting like Christians, not just saying, I'm a Christian. You know, we go to school. Who's a Christian? Even the naughtiest people that you thought were demon-possessed, but then you're like, say, what? You know, like, what? This demon-possessed person? No. Put up, you need to look like a Christian. Obey the Word. So our relationship with God saves us. And I love what my sister said. I love what she said this morning. She says, you know, if you don't get excited about talking to God, if you don't dream, you know, when you're in love with someone, you just want to be right by them all the time. You know, you're just like, hi. 5 minutes later, I missed you. Hi. And 2 minutes later, oh my word, life is unbearable without you. Okay. That's how we are with relationships. Now, if you're not excited to talk to God, God is probably not real to you. Because if you really have an encounter with Jesus, if you really get this is God and He's making time for this, you'll be like, hi God, I was here 5 seconds ago, but I couldn't wait. I just needed to talk to you. Not Jesus freak. I'm aware, praise the Lord, wherever you go. I'm talking about genuine relationship where you always want to talk to God. Okay, His relationship is what saves us. And if you don't have a relationship with Him, if you can't tell me what He personally has done for you, you're not saved. Because His relationship saves us. And I don't know if you've seen this, but the world is under a curse. Everything in the world is just a disaster mess. There's shootings going on. Every marriage falls apart. Things are just a disaster. The world is under a curse. But here's the thing. Over the last few weeks, we've looked at the fact that the 6 steps where Jesus got down and how He gave up His life. He humbled Himself. He became a servant. He emptied Himself for us. And then He was obedient to the point of death. He did all of this to die on the cross so that He could break and reverse every curse that you have put over your life. Sometimes people put curses over our lives. Sometimes we put curses over our lives ourselves when we sin. And He came to break and reverse every single curse that has been placed over your life. You should no longer walk around cursed. You should walk around victorious because His blood has conquered every problem. Every problem. And you know, I can honestly say, since I've started applying the blood, I didn't see a change in the first 2 days. But especially in the last few weeks where I applied the blood and then declare verses over those areas, I've seen complete change in myself where I even look back and I'm like, wow. You know? So I give a stupid example that my mom was sharing. She loves sharing stuff and just making me look bad. No, I'm just kidding. She doesn't. But she was sharing this example. We were going to lunch and she was sharing with the people in the car how what happened was last night I'd washed my hair and she was irritated because the bedroom was hot. So she walked out and she said, Kayla, when you dry your hair, don't dry in my room because my room's already hot. And she walked out and I was standing in the mirror and I'm thinking, well, she's not here. I could dry my hair here quick and she wouldn't know. And then I would just quickly walk out so the bedroom could cool down itself. And then I had this choice, but do I be obedient even though she's not here and just obey her? And there I am, devil and angel, and I'm thinking, you know. And eventually I thought, well, let me just be obedient because it's actually not honoring and I'm just hurting myself when I'm not obedient, even if it's a pathetic thing like a hairdryer. So what happens is the cord is long. I dragged it right outside the bedroom, ran around the corner in the passage, so it was still plugged in her bedroom, but it was not in her bedroom, and it was far away from her room, so I couldn't heat up her room, and I even faced the hairdryer in the opposite direction, and I dried my hair there, and my mom said she had planned this anger, this nice lecture on how I'm not obedient, and I do my own thing, and she walks in, and she sees me doing that, and she's like, you know, all of the anger, so she's like, I hope you repented of your anger. No, I'm just kidding, but you know, the point is we've got to start changing. We need to start applying the blood because it makes us different. And you know, if you look at what happened, I'm going to end with this. But literally, he has freed us from betrayal. And make sure you don't betray people anymore. But with generational curses, you know, Adam and Jesus faced the same thing. Adam's in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And here Adam is, do I be obedient? Do I lie? Do I tell the truth? Do I do my own thing? Do I follow my feelings? Do I do his will? And Adam chose to do his own thing and follow his feelings. And look where that got him, in a mess. Jesus sits there, this is pain. I don't feel like doing this. Do I do my will? Do I do God's will? Do I be obedient? And Jesus chose obedience. And I'm going to quickly end with this. What happened with Adam and what happened with Jesus? With Adam, the sin of the human race started there. But with Jesus, humanity being completely saved and redeemed and set free started with Jesus. With Adam, he despised the cup of blessing. You know, it's something we covered in Saul a few weeks ago. My mom actually said to us, you know, sometimes your greatest blessing can become your greatest curse because of familiarity. And Adam in the Garden of Eden had his greatest blessing, and because he took it for granted and wanted more and wasn't content, he ended up sinning. But if you look at this, Jesus, he chose to drink from the cup of the curse so that we could be set free. With Adam, the serpent prevailed against him, the serpent won. But with Jesus, he crushed the serpent under his feet. Okay, if you look at Adam, he defiled the earth with his sin. The earth became cursed. It actually says the ground even became cursed. But Jesus blessed the earth through his blood. With Adam, he lost every blessing. He lost it. I'm surprised his marriage even lost it. But I don't think that invented divorce yet. Otherwise, his marriage wouldn't have lost it. He lost every blessing. But Jesus recovered every blessing for you. Adam ate the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And see yourself as Adam. Make sure you're not Adam in your life. Okay? But Jesus, I love this. He ate the fruit of obedience. The fruit of obedience is so much more satisfying and tasty than the fruit of knowledge and good of evil and sin. Adam, he was a man made from the dust of the earth who wanted to be like God. He wasn't happy with what God had given him, even though what God had given him was perfect. Whereas what Jesus did, he had chosen to become man so that he could take our place and carry our punishment. That's a big deal. And lastly, Adam disappointed God. We all disappointed God. But Jesus brought joy to the Father's heart. And now when you apply the blood, you bring joy to God's heart. And so when it comes to applying the blood, you know, the four steps to miracles, promise, visualization, confession, and perseverance. You've got to apply the blood. You've got to see as those drops leave his head and hit your body, it transforms you and cleanses you and makes you a new creation. You were once unfaithful, now you're faithful. Okay, so you apply the blood. You then declare scriptures on the fact that you're faithful. You declare scriptures that you're victorious. You find scriptures. And every day, over and over again, you say them out loud because you start believing what you hear. So you declare them out loud all the time. And then what happens is you persevere. You may not see a change in the first week, but that doesn't mean you give up. I've been applying the blood in certain areas over my life for a year. But I can honestly say this month, because I've persevered, I've seen complete transformation in my life. I didn't even know was possible. And so if you will persevere and not stop with the blood of Jesus, he will change your life. You will live a life where you're worry-free. You'll have trials, but they won't get you down. They won't affect you. You'll have problems, but you won't be ruled by your problems. You'll rise up victorious above them.
Passionate about mobility and solutions that make a difference in your business.
From mobile sales
and sales management to van sales and proof of delivery. For a demo, call RapidTrade on 011-493-9755. RapidTrade, ahead of the game.